Trust me, you're going to love this.
This is Up to the Minute with Nicole.
Up to the Minute with Nicole.
Your weekly exploration of the world of fashion and design. Find out what to wear,
what's hot,
what's not,
the latest trends in fashion, and more.
Here's your host, Nicole Steinthal.
Good morning. Welcome to Up to the Minute with Nicole. We are here today talking with author, designer, and tastemaker India Hicks. Welcome, India.
Thank you, Nicole. It's very nice to be talking to you. I'm actually in rainy England, if you can believe it.
I'm going to start out. I just want to know a little bit about your impressive background.
Right. Well, you're generous to call it impressive. I was born in England, London, and was very blessed to have the Prince of Wales as a godfather. And my grandfather was the last Viceroy of India, which is why I got my name, India.
That's incredible. And also, just tell us about also your impressive accomplishments, what you have done so far in business, because there's a lot.
Yes, it never sounds so good when it comes from me, Nicole. That's very unfair. I haven't necessarily got impressive accomplishments at all, but what I have done is not stood still. That's possibly a better way of putting it. There are a lot of women out there who are doing amazing things, and they are managing being partners and being mothers and being business entrepreneurs. And so I certainly don't stand ahead of anybody else. That's I was very lucky with a very wonderful and blessed head start in my life, certainly. But I have really enjoyed the past 20 years of living on a very small island in the Bahamas. And whilst I was there, I found myself doing a real mix of things. And one was redecorating and relaunching a small boutique hotel. And then that led to me thinking about doing a book on island style. And then that led to me doing another book on beauty. And then that led to me working with Crabtree and Evelyn, a wonderful company, who were also talking about their roots being firmly in the natural world. And so we had a very similar message. And I think that that was a lovely partnership, and we had that for 9 years. So everything that I've done has really been a stepping stone to the next thing. But as I said, I certainly haven't sat still for very long. I have 5 incredible kids, and incredible in many ways. Some days they're incredibly annoying, and sometimes they're incredibly amazing. But 5 means that they're very, very diverse. And that's certainly not the same. They are all very different characters. So, you know, there are a lot of balls in the air, but as I said, no different from any other extraordinary woman out there. And, you know, as a modern woman, we are definitely meeting our challenges with trying to manage it all.
That is for sure. 5 children. Wow, that's incredible. Will you tell us a little bit about your parents?
Yes, my father was an amazing decorator and designer, and really was one of the foremost decorators and designers of the 1960s and 70s, and he really set the world alight with his extraordinary ideas of blending old with new, with working with geometric patterns. And he was doing things long before anybody else was in the world of design, and he was very brave and courageous in the way that he saw the world. And many, many designers now replicate his work. And my mother is still an extraordinary character, and she really had a front row seat at many a historical event. She was a lady in waiting to the Queen and went on the Commonwealth tour. She was actually with the Queen when the Queen became Queen. They were actually up a tree together in Africa, the moment that the news came through that the King had died. And my mother also was in India during independence, when my grandfather was handing power back. She sat with Mahatma Gandhi at many a prayer meeting. She saw a country on the verge of civil war. She worked in the refugee camps, and she has had an extraordinary broad mind ever since, and really has moved with the times, and is now 86, and is really I would say she's an encyclopedia. You can ask her anything about any historical event and she will be able to recall the date and the facts with absolute precision. She's also a brilliant raconteur, has a book that's been very successful called Daughter of Empire, and really has seen the world change in a very extraordinary way.
Oh, I love that. Incredible. So, India, your father was an amazing, timeless interior designer. How has his style influenced you?
Hugely. Hugely. You know, he was a man of few words. For instance, his London pied-à-terre was a testament to his rebellious spirit and the fact that it was really tempered by a reverence for tradition. But he had this extraordinary ability to work within the classics and yet to make them seem very fresh. And I think this endeared him to his clients and to the stylish people around the globe. He had an enormous sense of scale and proportion, and he would always inject modern touches. And much, you know, much of his works, as I said, has been imitated today, the geometric fabrics and rugs. They were absolutely right for the go-go of the 1960s, but they still look completely correct today. He was confident and he was audacious, and he was very well aware of his role as an arbiter of style. And certainly he once said that his greatest contribution as an interior decorator was to show people how to use bold color mixtures and how to add in the old with the new. And I think, again, we see a lot of that sensibility in today's work with the young designers who are coming up and out. You know, I'm certainly not as bold in the way that I design or decorate, but I can certainly see the influence of him. I use a lot of pops of color here and there. I love to mix the old with the new. I love a geometric pattern, although I can't live in an entire tented room of them, which is certainly what we did growing up. We would eat breakfast in a room that was completely tented with geometrics.
Wow. Me too. I love mixing the old with the new, and I do love your father's geometric prints. They're just incredible and so timeless. So I think you're inspiring me. I have to use some more in my house because I do love them. India, what would you say is your personal style?
I think similar to what I've just said about my father and the fact that, you know, I would call it a modern classic. In the fact that I love antiques and old furniture, but I do love to mix them. In the same way that I dress, I'm very happy to have a designer piece with a high street find. So it's very similar to my father.
How did you come to live on Harbor Island in the Bahamas?
That is quite a long story. In the fact that my father, the year I was born, built a very amazing house on a neighboring island to where I now live. And he, on his honeymoon, had been to Egypt. And he was extremely inspired by all things Egyptian, and especially the temple of King Zoser. And he decided that he wanted to have his own temple-like building. And indeed found a plot of land on Windermere Island, which is a very very small, but very unspoiled island, joined by a bridge to Eleuthera. And on this island, he found a plot of land high on a hill, and there he built his temple. And it has a flat roof and is made from the concrete, mixed with the pink sand from the beach. And it's a remarkable looking building. It is hell to maintain. As anybody in the Caribbean can tell you, do not have a flat-roofed house. Nevertheless, it certainly was a remarkable piece of architecture. And, of course, being David Hicks, only he would have thought of living in an Egyptian mausoleum. Everybody else lived in regular Caribbean homes, and we lived in an Egyptian mausoleum. So every year we would go out there for a holiday at Easter when the weather was slightly more temperate. And my cousins lived across the road in also another villa, and we would grow up in this wonderful, very free world of pink sand beaches and turquoise waters and being able to bicycle around the island and having no worry about smog and traffic and danger. And it was completely private. In fact, the Prince of Wales came and holidayed with us quite a few years in a row because for him it was the place where he really was unpestered by any of the press. And it was the perfect, holiday existence. And then a friend of my sister's, who I had known all my life, he had decided to give up his career in London, as, an advertising man and ended up on Harbour Island, which is a neighboring island to Eleuthera. And he started running a small boutique hotel and we re-met. We had known each other, in a previous life when he was a friend of my sister's. And I had left the Egyptian mausoleum and traveled up by car to Harbour Island. And I arrived on Harbour Island, which is only 3 miles long and half a mile wide. And someone had reminded me that David was now working up there. And there were no telephones, so I'd had no contact with him for several years. And I wandered into a little tiny tourist boutique, which incidentally I now own. And a lovely lady said to me, yes, it would be very easy to find David Flintwood. He was working at the Ocean View Club, which was just up the hill, she said. And so I walked up the hill and I walked into Ocean View, and David very much refers to it as our Casablanca moment. He looked up from the desk and we hadn't seen each other for a number of years. And he said, what in the world are you doing here? And I said, I'd come to go diving for a couple of days because there was no diving on the island I was on. And I did indeed stay for a couple of days to go diving. And then those days turned into weeks and then they turned into months and, we fell in love. And we fell in love very much with a way of life as well. And we said we would take each day as it came, and we have been there now for 20 years.
Wow. That's a wonderful story. India, we are going to take a break and then we'll be back to talk a little bit more.
Welcome back to Up to the Minute with Nicole on TalkZone.com.
Hi, welcome back to Up to the Minute with Nicole. We're talking today with author, designer, and tastemaker India Hicks. Welcome back, India.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to talk a little bit, as a mother of five, how do you juggle parenthood and running a successful company?
Well, I'm so glad you used the word successful. But at the moment we are a year into having launched quite a large scale direct sales business, and large scale in the meaning that we intend to hopefully grow this business and grow the community of women who have joined us. But so first of all, how to handle motherhood and work, an impossible question for which I really don't have a proper answer. And I'm sure many, many of your listeners today would be able to tell you that, that there's no magic solution. The one thing I would say is that I'm certainly not afraid to ask for help. And I've been very, very lucky to be able to have a nanny, in the truest sense of the word, who has been able to be there when I have to work or travel. And she's very much there for the kids. Although, having said that, the kids absolutely come to me first, and that's essential. If that relationship ever changes, you're in trouble. But work and family is an impossible balance, because whenever you're at work, of course, you're feeling guilty that you're not giving your full attention to home. And when you're at home, you're very nervous that you're not giving your full attention to work. The only thing I ever say is that I think the thing that we can take comfort from is that there are hundreds of thousands of women out there feeling the same way, and that we haven't got the answers yet. But I do encourage people to ask for help, not to try and be totally superwoman and to do it all. You know, there must be a next door neighbor. There must be a moment where a grandmother can help. You must be able to rely on a partner for a bit more assistance, because we cannot do it ourselves all the time. So not a very good answer, I'm afraid.
Fabulous answer. No, it's a very difficult. And you don't want to fail at either one or let anything slip through the cracks. So it can be very tough. Now, you recently launched a company, your company, IndiaHicks.com, where you can purchase items that you curate and your line. Can you tell us a little bit about the product line and the website and your ambassadors and your tribe?
Certainly. Definitely. As I mentioned, a year ago, we went live with a direct sales company. And I think that that's a very interesting idea straight away. I never had pictured myself in direct sales. And for no other reason, I mean, direct sales is a wonderful business model. And obviously the Tupperware parties and the Avon ladies have really made history with what they were doing. But it just wasn't somewhere that I had imagined myself at this time. And now I feel absolutely passionate about the fact that I have a direct sales business. I have been able to partner with some really extraordinary women along the way. So the model is that we do have a lifestyle brand, which means that we sell collections from handbags to beauty to scarves, accessories, jewelry. It's not one category, and I love that. I love the fact that we can really go in any direction. I also think that it makes the parties feel really fun and different. So you're not necessarily thinking you're coming to just a vitamin party, but you're coming and you're seeing a whole range of product. And the product is very much based around the chapters of my life. So the British chapter that we've talked about, and my British heritage and roots there, and indeed what we call the Runaway Island story as well. So the company is India Hicks London Harbour Island. And I think what's much more important, even beyond the product and the categories and the lifestyle items, is the fact that we do now have this community of women. And when we first started, obviously there was no one, and it was me and a partner. There are three of us who founded this, and we went out, and I spent really last year on the road launching this company, and I went so far across America, up and down around the middle, and had an amazing year of getting to know America, getting to know the different types of places, and really understanding who our audience was going to be from a woman point of view. And we now have 700 women on board, which of course is very small compared to some direct sales company, but it's very large in my mind, because these 700 women are really connected. Mm-hmm. And we're finding that we're really reconnecting in this business. And I love the fact that it's not just a connection through Facebook or the internet or your telephone. We're connecting person to person. So we're really getting back into the heart of the home. And I thought long and hard when the idea was suggested to me about whether I wanted to launch a lifestyle brand in the very traditional route, meaning was I going to be in Bergen of Goodman and Neiman Marcus, or did I want to get back into the heart of home where the parties would happen around the kitchen table or in the dining room or even on the go. We have our parties launched in so many different ways. And I really loved the idea of this idea of reconnecting. And so I opted for the direct sales model. And yet, when I say direct sales, we are slightly different as a company. And I think the women who are joining us, rather like me, hadn't expected to see themselves in this model. And they are seeing huge potential for building teams, for earning an income, for standing on their own two feet, for being individual. And what I also love is I also have a very traditional woman on board, someone who has come from direct sales. And so we have a real broad spectrum of women, and that's fantastic. I don't want anybody who's obvious. I love to have something that's unobvious. And we have quite a few occasions where we meet as a community and we get up to all sorts of trouble, and that's a good thing. So that it's been a lot of fun, Nicole.
And I love the product assortment. My cousin, way back in, I think one of the first sales you had, the shows in Greenwich, Connecticut, I wasn't able to go. She went. She said she got the most beautiful clutch. Ever since then, I've been dying of jealousy because I have not made it to one of the India Hicks parties and I ordered some things at Christmas time. Everything was a huge hit. So they're really great items, from jewelry to lotions and soaps and perfume, bags, scarves. Everything is fabulous and really unique things, like definitely a cool look. Can you tell us what one of your favorite items in the assortment is?
And again, thank you. Very generous words. And yes, I mean, I asking for a favorite is like asking which of my children is a favorite. And at certain times, obviously, one child is endearing themselves more than another. And I think I feel like that in my collection. We launched with a very tight collection. Mm-hmm. And each item has a story behind it, and that still happens. But we launched with a wonderful computer bag called the Duchess of Windsor. And I have a real soft spot for the Duchess of Windsor because she was there right from the start. Mm-hmm. And she's a very unique fabric. It's a performance fabric, so it's very lightweight. It's washable. It's durable. And more importantly, it can fit a 15-inch computer screen into the bag. And I was just finding that at that time, I couldn't find a good-looking computer bag. I looked around, and it looked as though everything had been designed by a man. I'm so sorry, but it was just not an attractive. There was not an attractive computer bag out there. And our Duchess of Windsor has done very, very well because she's a good-looking bag. And I was always very admiring of the Duchess of Windsor, who in the 1940s I did believe to be one of the most stylish women in the world. And I always say, of course, she had other hidden talents because our king did abdicate for her. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that was just for her style. And I just kept wondering, how would she in the 1940s have carried her computer, if indeed she'd had one then, between her dazzling worlds of Paris and London and New York and indeed Nassau, where she ended up in her formative years. And so I designed this bag very much with her in mind. And I think it's from the fact that we see how well it sells, it certainly resonated with a lot of other women out there.
Wow. I'm going to definitely check it out because I do believe you have envy when you see somebody with a great bag for their computer, because there is a void with that. It's very hard to, when you're going to meetings, pull out your computer in sort of a chic way because you want to make that good first impression with business. And so I think your Duchess of Windsor bag might fill that for me too. India, I want to tell you what I love in your assortment, the hexagon pendant. When I first met you at your book signing back in Rye, one of your ambassadors had on a very simple dress, and she had one of your clutches, and she had that necklace on, and it totally made the outfit. It was really great to see it translate on from the screen onto a person. So I love that
accessory that you have. Well, I have to tell you that they're very naughty, these ambassadors, because that was designed as, we call it, a little bit of bag bling. It's a very inexpensive charm that's meant to hang off the side of your bag. And, of course, these naughty, bad ambassadors take them and wear them as necklaces. Mm-hmm. And then people like you and I talk about it on radio, and suddenly we're going to be selling them as necklaces, and they're really meant to be blinging the bags out. But I love the fact that our community of women can do what they want, and they take their products and they use them in very different ways. And we have a wonderful internal Facebook where we share ideas. And believe me, I have seen some crazy stuff going on with the products.
That is so funny. So it started out as like a bag charm, and then somebody put it on as a necklace, and it took off. I mean, it looks fabulous as a necklace. And I just wanted to let our listeners and our readers know that you can also get the chains on the site. So you have not just the hexagon, but you also have other really great-looking charms that you can for a very well price. You know what, India, we're going to take another break, and then we will be back.
You're listening to Up to the Minute with Nicole. Back to Nicole Steinthal.
Hi, welcome back. We are talking today with India Hicks. India, let's talk a little bit about what a typical day is like on Harbor Island.
Oh my goodness, Nicole. I think everybody else's day on Harbour Island there could be some typical moments to it. Unfortunately, mine is never typical. It's a madhouse. Because my life is so unpredictable, and the fact that so much of the time I'm jumping on an aeroplane. Of course, the first thing that people should understand about Harbour Island is you can't reach it by aeroplane. You can only reach it by boat. The most common form of transport on the island is golf cart. And I have lived in my home for 20 years, and we have unfortunately now gathered rather a zoo around us in the fact that we have lovebirds who are breeding out of control. And so we now have cages of these lovebirds. And I have a three-legged dachshund. I have a wild potcake, and a potcake is a stray dog, a Bahamian stray dog. Sometimes they're called Nassau Roadrunners. Mm-hmm. We have a tortoise, and we have two cats. And so life is fairly crazy, and that's we haven't even begun on the children. But I'm normally the first to wake up in the house. I normally get myself out and running very quickly, and I mean actually running, and I try to run on the beach every day. I take that hour to myself very seriously and make sure that I'm keeping pretty fit mentally and physically if I can. And unfortunately, I'm not wandering around under the palm trees. I'm now spending most of my time in an office, co-running this business, if I'm not actually packing a suitcase to go on a business trip. So it's a fairly erratic life. But when my kids are home, I try very hard to make sure that I'm spending some time with them and that I'm not completely consumed in the office all the time. Although there are days where that doesn't happen, but I do try to do that. But I try certainly to be at home when they're all home for their holidays so that I'm not away. But the island is an amazing, it's an amazing island, and it's certainly an amazing lifestyle. There are some very frustrating bits when our power goes out, for hours on end. And I'm running around the island trying to find an internet connection somewhere, anywhere, so I can join back into a conference call that I would have had scheduled for several months. It's a pretty nutty life.
But sounds so much fun. I love your book, Island Style. How can we bring a little bit of island style into our own homes?
By finding one of my remarkable ambassadors, connecting with them, and shopping the whole island collection that we have there for you. And in fact, I know right now I've got Scarlett and Juanita and Beth listening into this, and they are all extraordinary women who have joined us and who are doing a brilliant job of selling the collections. We've just launched a spring collection, and in it there's a wonderful lineup of what we call the Riviera collection, which is from totes to duffels to baskets, and it has a very hippie, cool island feel to it. It's got a very large, oversized wash bag. And everybody says, why did you make that so big? And I would say it was from when I was in boarding school. Uh-huh. And we had to smuggle our tuck in because, of course, you weren't allowed sweets or candy, as you would say. So I've made an oversized wash bag because, in fact, I think every woman wants to put in just that bit much more into her wash bag. So really, a little bit of island life, obviously, through my ambassadors and buying into this collection. And really, I think I decorate in a very island-inspired way wherever I am in the world. And the fact that we use quite a muted color palette, and then we have the pops of color, as I described before. And I love to bring the outside in. So we have huge vases on the mantelpiece or in the kitchen of these oversized palm fronds. And I think that gives a very tropical feel to any environment. I love bringing any kind of flower or floral into the home, and I especially love the green on green on green. We sleep in dark stained mahogany four-poster beds, which have mosquito netting over them, and we have fans above the beds. And again, that absolutely brings the tropical vibe into anywhere. When we first moved to the house, we really wanted to get rid of some of the harsher elements that we found in the home. So we took out as much of the cement and the tile and the glass as we could, and we replaced it with much softer elements like wood and paper and straw. Not literally, but emotionally. So you can you can understand that it was definitely a softer way of decorating. And I always say, of course, with the kaleidoscope of color on the outside of the Bahamas, we did keep the interior more softer, so pale grays and soft almonds. And then, of course, we have a staircase that we painted in hot fuchsia. So clearly rules are made to be broken in the Hicks Flintwood household.
Excellent. And I know you are an incredible entertainer and have many parties in your home in Harbor Island. Can you tell us about a party you were exceptionally excited about or very proud of?
It's a funny life because really running this business, I've found that something had to give. And in fact, one of your earlier questions, which is about balancing motherhood and work or being an entrepreneur or running a business, and one of the things that I should have said was that something does have to give, and more recently that's definitely been my social life. I was much more inclined to have, especially if I'm here in England, to have driven up to London and go and see friends or go to the movies or join a dinner party. And now I don't because I just know that is going to be time away from the office. So I know that these are a couple of years where my head is down and I'm just concentrating on building something that I can feel very proud of. And so there's definitely less social time. But on the island, certainly in the holidays, we have an influx of friends and family who do come and descend, because when you live in the Bahamas, of course, you never realize how many friends you have. Mm-hmm. And we did, one new year, about 2 years ago, I decided that, David and I had been unmarried for 18 years and it was definitely time to celebrate. And we were going to do a New Year's Eve dinner for our friends and family. And of course, because it's a small island and everybody has house guests, the numbers grew and swell. We ended up not being the 25 people we thought, but we ended up being over 75. And of course I couldn't fit them all in the home. So I decided that we were going to have them on the driveway, and we have a curving driveway. So we begged and borrowed tables and chairs from around different organizations on the island, and the church lent us some. And we set up a rather wonderful, long, continuous table for 75 or 80 people that wound round our driveway. And we set up overhead cafe lights, and we had a lot of torch flares, and we did an amazing buffet dinner. And it was just a wonderful night because it was all about just celebrating. And it went beyond New Year, and it was just recognizing how lucky we all were to be there together with friends and family around us.
Wow, sounds incredible. And I know in the book, I think there are some pictures of that party, correct?
That's right, there are.
Let's see, who would be your dream dinner guest?
That's hard to say. My grandmother, Edwina Mountbatten, was clearly an extraordinary character. She was born into a very privileged background, and the first half of her life, she really flitted away with being very social and unserious. And the second half of her life, she changed completely and dramatically, where she really worked herself to death, quite literally, for the causes of other people. She was one of the first women to go in to the jungles of Burma after the war ended, to be able to get to the prisoners of war to tell them that the war had ended. And she was one of the first people to be on the Burma Railroad. She really slept with an atlas under her pillow, and she traveled to parts of the world that had never been seen by a white woman before. And she was very remarkable as a character, and I think probably as a result, absolutely fascinating. When she was a Viceroy of India, she did things that other Viceroys in the past had never done. She immediately started having mixed dinners. She immediately started campaigning for the Indians. She immediately wanted to get her hands dirty. I think she had a very, extraordinary ability to engage people in conversation and to be fascinated by them. And I think for someone who was born into the life that she was born into, it's a remarkable feat to be able to understand a completely different world than the one you've come from. So I think she would be very interesting to have dinner with, and I regret terribly that I was never able to meet her. She died very young, having, as we said, really worked herself. She was with St. John's Ambulance out in Borneo working again. And they found her in her room. And it was totally unexpected.
Oh, my goodness. India, after that amazing answer, this is a little bit of a frivolous question, but I do ask all of the people that I interview, and we have some fun answers. Whose closet would you love to raid?
Oh, gosh, that really depends on the day and the mood. My other half, David, of course, would like me to dress like Grace Kelly as much as possible. I would like to be a mix, I think, between Cameron Diaz and Cate Blanchett, probably.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. Do you have a go-to party outfit that you wear when you're entertaining or a look?
When I'm entertaining, when I'm entertaining on the island, I tend to wear something long and barefoot. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in the city or off the island, I tend to wear something probably shorter with heels.
Okay. How about a signature cocktail? Is there a signature cocktail that's always served at your home?
There isn't. But we have a very fully stocked bar. Mm-hmm. So anybody wandering by is always welcome to get a drink. But I did recently with our leaders, the women who have really become superstars in our company, we met recently in Miami for a fantastic weekend together. And we were out at a bar because that's, of course, where you are when you're on your retreat with your leaders, right? You go to a bar.
Of course. Yeah. And especially in Miami.
Exactly. And that's, I'd just like to say that again. That is the kind of company we are. And at the bar, they were serving a wonderful cocktail called A Good Life. And I thought it was just so funny to keep ordering A Good Life until the next morning when I realized that there really was too much of A Good Life. You actually could have too much of A Good Life.
That's so funny. How about a favorite dish that you like to serve?
I'm very blessed in having Top Banana, who has been with us for 15 years now, who does the cooking for us. And she's very agile in the kitchen, which is lucky because I am not. And even last night cooking Domino's scrambled eggs, Domino was rather lamenting the fact that Top Banana was not there because she was having to put up with my scrambled eggs. So we're lucky to be able to eat quite a varied diet. So I don't know what the answer to that would be. There are a lot of Bahamian dishes that we would eat if we go out, and I love grits, I have to say.
That's so funny. Okay, we're going to take our last break, and then we'll be back.
And now, back to Up to the Minute with Nicole. Here's Nicole Steinthal.
Hi, welcome back to Up to the Minute with Nicole on Talk Zone. We are talking today with author, designer, and tastemaker, India Hicks. Welcome back, India.
Thank you.
India, so you have a very special godfather. Can you tell us a little bit about your relationship?
Nicole, that's so naughty. I do. I'm very lucky to have had Prince Charles, the Prince of Wales, is my godfather, and he's a very considerate godfather in the fact that he probably has a lot of godchildren, but he always remembers a birthday and Christmas, even to now, and that is quite remarkable. He's also quite a busy man, so even more special that he does always send a present and a note. But he really, I think, has made an impact in England with the incredible good works that he does and the Prince's Trust charity that he has set up. And he has devoted so much of his life's work to that. And it is an amazing, inspiring foundation that he should have much more credit for than he does. And it really spurs young people on. And it's now very far reaching and goes into so many other areas as well. So he's an extraordinary man, a really extraordinary man. Funny enough, when I was a child, every year for Christmas, he would give me one piece of china, which was very weird. Of course, when you're age 7 and you open up your Christmas present and there is a gravy dish or a teacup. Of course, now, as an adult, I have this complete set of dining china. So it's quite amazing. Of course, it made sense, you know, every Christmas, every birthday, another piece of china and now a complete set. So much better than a piece of plastic that you'll never keep.
Yes, exactly. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. You know, I have to also ask, does any of the royal family come to visit you in Harbour Island?
They're all there, Nicole. All of them. Squashed into my guest room.
That's great.
Harbour Island is a very, very small place. Prince Harry was with us a couple of years ago, they have fairly busy schedules, the royal family. There's not much time for beach time, let's put it like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to we only have a few minutes left. I really want to talk more about your business and IndiaHicks.com. So basically we can buy your products online, or is there a way to sign up for an event in your area? Is there somewhere
on the website? Yes, and you know, I would very much like to encourage anyone who's listening to visit. We call it our tribe page because, as I keep saying, we're so much more than a company. We really are a community, and I love to say we're a tribe. We're all part of this amazing tribe. So do visit IndiaHicks.com/join. And there's an amazing video there that I would encourage anyone to watch because you really get a sense of what these crazy girls who are coming on board are all about. And we have a lot of fun. It's not just Good Life cocktails in the bar in Miami, but we're really building a substantial business here. And even I know I've got some fantastic ambassadors listening at the moment, and Scarlett and Juanita and Beth and Alison and Meg and Daniel are all on there listening. And that's what's so powerful about this. We really are holding hands together and having fun together. And I know sometimes those words can sound very hollow, but I think if you dig deep and see what we're building, you can see that this actually is a real movement. And I can't tell you how exciting it is to have seen this grow and to still feel as passionate and as excited as I did a year ago, and believing that we have this really incredible opportunity ahead of us. With women who are like-minded, who are passionate about design, and again, as I said before, who want to stand on their own 2 feet. And I've always been lucky enough to be able to do that in whatever way. I want to be individual. I want to earn my own income. I don't want to rely on anybody else. And I think these other women who are coming on board with me feel the same way. And that is wonderful.
I know you said you have a bunch of ambassadors listening, so we're happy about that. But who are your ambassadors? You said they're very well connected and they know a lot of people in their area. And how are they chosen?
There are other direct sales companies that go through a very rigorous interview process. And we thought about that long and hard when we started this. And I felt didn't feel right to me. I'm very keen to have, as I said earlier, a broad spectrum of women. And I think that women who come on board are a natural fit for us, that they do fall in love with the idea that we're a storytelling brand. They do fall in love with the British roots and the Bahamian roots. They do fall in love with the idea of being able to build something for themselves. And so I think our brand message is very, very strong. It's very compelling, and it's certainly very real. And I hope that they sense that every one of them that comes on board, we welcome absolutely with arms open. And as long as they're feeling passionate and as long as they recognize that, yes, it's quite a lot of business to build. It's quite a lot of work to build a business. But also we're having, as I said, a lot of fun doing it. And there is potential and opportunity ahead for us. So really, I welcome any woman from anywhere in North America. We are only in North America at the moment. The other wonderful thing about what we're doing as a company is we don't have any borders. And I know that sounds funny, but in some companies, you're not able to, if you live in one state, you're not able to grow a team in another state. And I love the fact that our women may live in Dallas, and they may have a sister who's in Connecticut, or they may have a college friend that they haven't seen who's in Florida. And it gives you an excuse, A, to reconnect, and B, to get on a plane and meet somebody. And instead of saying to your husband, can I get the time off from the kids? Can I have some money to fly to Florida? You're now in a business where you say, you take control, say, I'm flying to Florida because I'm putting it on the business this week. And then you get down to Florida, you meet your old college friend, and you say, listen, this is what the business is about. Think about joining us. The other really important thing here is that it becomes less my story, and it becomes much more the ambassador's story. They are able to curate the collections. Our collections have now grown, and they're able to say, yes, I like this, or no, I don't want that in my table. I want this as part of my collection. I don't want that as part of my collection. So they're really running this as their business. The stories of how they're reconnecting with friends become their stories that they're telling at their events. And also, you know, they're independent, so they can host their events in any way they want. And there are so many ways to host events. So it may be a dinner at home where you actually now show the collection. It may be one-on-one in Starbucks. You may do a virtual party. So having said how much I love the fact that we're back at the kitchen table, we're back in the heart of the home, we're also pretty modern in our thinking and pretty fresh in the fact that you can do it as a virtual party. You can set it up on your iPhone. So I think we appeal to quite a different age group as well. And I think particularly we're finding that there is a woman who has probably given up a career in order to become a mum, which is, of course, the most rewarding job there is in the world. But they're now rather like you, Nicole, were talking about your children leaving back for college. They've got to that stage. Terrible. And now they're thinking, what am I going to do? Because they're not necessarily having an internet radio show. They're beginning to think, how can I get back to doing a job but not having to commute long hours, not having to be at the beck and call of a boss, not having to be in an office 24/7. And this just is an incredible vehicle for that woman who wants to do something again.
It is great that you're giving women that opportunity, because it's a great networking outlet and meeting people, and there's opportunity in your company. I want to know, who is the woman that shops at IndiaHicks.com?
Gosh. I think, again, I think she's probably between, you know, mid-30s to mid-50s and beyond. I think she's got an eye for design. I think she probably has paid attention to her wardrobe. I think she's savvy. I think she's probably pretty sophisticated in a really good sense of the word. She's probably read, what do you call them? Shelter magazines. I think you call them Shelter magazines.
Shelter, yeah.
Yep. I think she's probably done some charitable or community work. She probably has college kids. I think she's smart and savvy. And hopefully is falling in love with our collections and with our message.
How does the India Hicks company differ from other direct mail outlets?
In a number of ways, because we are a lifestyle brand. So we, as I said, are not just a single category business. So it's not that we're selling vitamins or cooking products. We sell lots of different things in lots of different ways, and bath and beauty. I spent 9 years at Crabtree & Evans, so I really understand about beauty, and I love my fragrances. And scarves and jewelry and all the rest. We're different in the fact that, I think our price point is a little bit higher than the average price point out there. And that means that we are attracting a woman who's not afraid, to spend. And she in turn is then hosting a party where the sales are, successful. And I think people are feeling, excited by that. So the average income of our ambassador is higher than other direct sales companies. And I think that we're really forging this idea that we are a community. And I would like to think that as a founder, I have my fingerprints all over this company. I am completely and utterly embedded in this. Every word of copy, every creative decision, everything really comes from my heart. I'm very blessed to have an incredible corporate team who I love, who are on this journey with me, but it's a very small and tight team. But we all can see a big vision for where we want to go. So I've been unbelievably lucky to have been able to start this and found it and to see it grow.
Excellent. What is next for India Hicks?
Nicole, I just like a good night's sleep. oh, my goodness. What is next? I say that particularly at the moment because I'm in the UK and I keep American hours, I keep East Coast hours when I'm here so that I don't fall down in my ability to run the company when I'm overseas. So it would be nice to get a good night's sleep at the moment. But I think what I would like to see is more women joining us and believing in us. Because we've started something very special. And I think I'm feeling really content with where I am right now. I have five, as I said, amazing and incredible kids who are at times unbelievably tiresome too. And I have a wonderful company that is thriving. And I think that I feel very balanced in the fact that as a modern woman, I feel I've got to where I needed to go for now. So I'm sorry, that was a very long answer. I'm not sure what's next, but right now I'm feeling very happy.
Okay, well, thank you so much, India. And I really appreciate the interview. You have done an amazing job. Everyone shop at indiahicks.com, and we'll keep watching to see what new things you have. Thank you, India.
You're so welcome. Yes. So I was just going to say, don't forget to go to indiahicks.com/join, because I think that's a really interesting page there where they can actually listen to ambassadors who can say it much better than I can. But we've started something very special here. Thank you, Nicole, so much.
Thank you, India. Have a great day.
Bye.